That wasn't staged. That was done live. So that tells you where the average person on the street and what the average person on the street believes about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me one day, Brother Johnny, if you believed as you preach, what would you do? Well, I'd plant a tree. Somebody said that many years ago. I'd plant a tree. Therefore, because I believe what I believe that Dutch Fork, God has a place for it in the end time, a great place for it in the end time, and I believe God wants us to prepare for that. And as a result of that, we elected a Nehemiah Vision team to begin to study. And so the chairperson of that team, before I preach, is going to come, and he's going to take just a few minutes, and he's going to share with you. I don't know which one it is, Jim, but we'll get it on here for Bill. And he's going to share with you what they are doing so far.
Well, good morning. I think if we believed what we just sang, that there would be a great commitment to reach this community.
Amen.
And that's basically what the Nehemiah team is about. We began probably a year and a month ago with a meeting here in the body that the pastor called and said, let's come and pray about the direction of Dutch Fork. I moved down on Highway 6 in June of 88, and the subdivisions were just beginning to open up. There were only two that were mature. That was Yacht Cove and the other one across from the what is now the plant, Woodleaf or something like that. You could run on Highway 6 and not get hit. Now you can't get out of your subdivision. I say that because the Nehemiah team is prayerfully looking for the will of God for the future of Dutch Fork and this body of believers. If you look at the growth we've had, and as wonderful as this church is, don't we want to reach all these people around us?
Amen. Amen.
So that's what the Nehemiah team is trying to discover, is the will of God for this church. We're not going to get ahead of the congregation. As the pastor said, I was named, I think at the time we had a vision team in the second quarter. The rest of the team through the nominating committee was nominated. Ben Lancaster, Nicole Brown, David Jones, Chuck Kersey, Paul Morgan, Sandra Woodham, Sherry French, and myself are the members of that team. And we would ask you to pray for us so that God would reveal his will. But his will not only comes through us, but through you as a body. And so we would ask that you would pray for us, that we would know God's will. We've employed or engaged at no cost to us at this point, South Carolina Baptist Foundation, the Aspen Group, which is a team that is nationwide. And what we'll do at this juncture is get your input. So we're going to be surveying the congregation, whether that's a hard copy survey or a e-copy. We'll get it to you, and we want to know what your views are, what your needs are. We'll also be reaching out to our community leaders, because if this place is going to be a place in the community that we can reach Christ, we've got to embrace the community. And with that, we'll be reaching out to them. We've got the home prayer meetings that are praying now for the renewal services. So we couldn't pick a better time for us to know God's will than to discover that during this time of renewal. So I would ask you to prayerfully consider, what is the direction for yourself? What is the direction for this church in this community? Doing that, these prayer meetings, which will be at Chuck and Kathy Kersey's home this evening, is calling attention to, if there's sin in our life, let's confess it. Repent of it. Capture the vision for the church and act upon it. Some of the things that's pointed out, they're the obvious ones. Okay, you need to spruce up, you need to clean up the children's area. It needs better lighting. It needs a lot of work done on it. Parking, we need more handicap and visitor parking. For things like the, what is the youth zone now? It's got mold issues, it's got water issues. That has to be addressed. We're not going to get ahead of you. We don't know what it is that God wants us to do, but we're convinced God can reveal it to us if we prayerfully seek him and seek his face. And it's not for us, but it's that his kingdom can be built from the body of believers here at Dutch Fork Baptist Church. Pray for us, please.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. All right. This is the last one in the series. I just felt that this was the time to end the series, and Miss Naomi has done an excellent job in preparing for a new slide for us, and I think you have that slide on the front of your bulletin, and I would urge you to study that slide. Leon came up with the video, found the video, and the title of the video was The End. I said, well, let's use that for our sermon, Sunday morning, The End. And I certainly think that as we think about the end of the church age, as we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about the end of this world as we know it, and the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, I think that certainly it calls us to remember that God has raised up Dutch Fork Baptist Church for such a time as this. And if you're a member of Dutch Fork Baptist Church, he's placed you here for such a time as this. And so there are some exciting, exciting days ahead. Let's just kind of quickly review. We know that the rapture of the church, we know that Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected somewhere around 30, AD 32. We're living in that church age that is overlapped by the time of the Gentiles down at the bottom here, which began in 597 B.C. The last week, the 7 years of tribulation, and we finished out on the vials last Sunday. And by the way, all of these messages are on the website. You can go back and look at them and listen to them, rather, not look at them, but listen to them. The Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, Paul said, we are raptured, we are taken up to be with Christ, we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we receive those crowns that we lay at his feet according to the Revelation 4 and 5. The fullness of the Gentiles is taking place during this particular time, and we come then, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ after the marriage supper of the Lamb. His feet touch the Mount of Olives. Zechariah gives you all of that scripture and other places as well. The beast and the false prophet who have arisen during that 7 year period of time, who Pastor Johnny believes is alive right now, are thrown into the lake of fire. And by the way, people ask me sometimes, I get some amusing answers out there on the street. I love to talk to people just like that interviewer was doing, just kind of find out what they're believing. And you ought to practice that. And you would be amazed at what some people really believe. The other day I was talking to one, that hadn't been too terribly long ago, they thought God ruled over heaven and Satan ruled over hell. That's just a concept that people have in their minds. And so the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. Well, everybody thinks hell is the last place. It isn't. The lake of fire is the last place. That's where those that have rejected Christ through all generations of time will find themselves living. And you say, wait a minute, I believe we'll be burned up. No, you won't. God has a fire that does not consume. Remember the burning bush that spoke to Moses? Hello, are you listening? You remember the rich man who was in hell? He had all five of his faculties. He could see, he could hear, he could touch, he could taste and feel. He had every one and smell. And he even had a memory, by the way, because he remembered that he had brothers back, and he didn't want them to come to that terrible place. So the beast, the false prophet, are thrown into the lake of fire. Satan is bound during the thousand-year millennial reign. And at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign, he's loose for a brief season to go out and to deceive the four corners of the earth, the Bible says. Now, during that thousand-year millennial reign, Christ will be ruling upon Jerusalem. And by the way, let me write this down. You need to write this down. There are at least 34 places in the Bible. I just found that out this week. 34 places in the Bible where God says emphatically that he wrote his name in the city of Jerusalem and upon the Temple Mount forever. In other words, it's his forever. Forever and forever and forever, and as long as you say forever. It does not change. It does not belong to the people who think they own it. It belongs to God and to his people that he gave it to. And we'll show you that in the message this morning. So Satan is loose for a brief season during that thousand-year millennial reign where he's bound. And he's bound during that thousand-year millennial reign because God is going to prove to every man and to every person that the reason they sin is not because Satan tempts them. You see, we have this idea floating around today, well, I was tempted, and I just, I was tempted, and so I sinned. Temptation is not a sin. In fact, the Bible says that God cannot tempt any man. He cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt any man. Temptation is the work of Satan and all of his demons and cohorts. But temptation in and of itself is not a sin. Paul said, let no man, when he is tempted, be taken by that temptation, because if he trusts God, God will provide a way to escape. Temptations are a natural part of this life because of the fallen and the Adamic nature of mankind, and because of the fallen nature of Satan himself, who thought and said, I will, five times in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. So God is going to banish Satan during that thousand-year millennial reign. And so man will not be able to say, well, Satan caused me to do it. Remember, there was an individual went around saying the devil made me do it? Well, you know that's not true. Nobody makes you do anything in reality. You can blame somebody for it, but in reality, we all do what we want to do, basically, don't we? We all have control of our mental faculties, and we basically do what we want to do. So Satan is bound during that thousand-year millennial reign. At the end of that thousand-year millennial reign, there's one final judgment where the battle at the end of the seven-year tribulation is Armageddon. That's where Jesus' feet comes and splits the Mount of Olives. It cleaves to the east from the west. Zechariah, go home and read it and study it. And the water flows from the Great Sea to the Hinda Sea. All right? That's the dealings with man. His final dealings is with all evil. And he puts away all evil at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign. And he banishes Satan to the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and where all, and there's one final resurrection that takes place at the end of that thousand years. Now, we have been resurrected back here at the rapture. Or, if we're alive, we have been caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the one church in Revelation was the church of Philadelphia, one of the two churches in the book of Revelation that God did not tell, Jesus did not have to tell them to repent, was the church of Philadelphia. And in Revelation chapter 3, and I think it's about verse 10, look it up, check me out, but it's there, in the church of Philadelphia, God promised that he would keep his bride, and the Philadelphia church is a picture of that bride, from the hour of tribulation that would come upon all the world to try it and to test it. So Satan is bound during this 1,000 year. The battle of Armageddon has taken place. All of the forces of mankind have been defeated. Christ has defeated them with the sword going out of his mouth. We come with him, and we'll promise to rule and reign with him during that 1,000 year period of time. And we will be given positions of authority based upon our faithfulness back here. In other words, from the rapture back until the time that we trusted and received Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Satan is removed. Satan is bound and thrown into the lake of fire. The final rebellion of mankind has taken place at the end of this time when Satan goes about the earth and he tries to deceive once again mankind in an uprising against God. And finally, God puts all enemies away. Paul said that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Oh, where is your sting? Oh, death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. Death itself shall be destroyed. There will be no more sickness. There will be no suffering. There will be no more pain. There will be no more dying. For the former things have all passed away. The great white throne judgment takes place. Now, my friend, listen to me. If you have refused Christ back here in the church age, which we're living in now, if you have rejected Christ and the rapture would have come before Pastor Johnny finishes this message, you'd be left behind. You'd be left behind. You'll be ushered into that period called the 7 years of tribulation. You will receive the mark of the beast, or you will die. You will give your life. By not taking the mark of the beast, if you take the mark of the beast, you've sealed your eternal destiny. There are two sins in Scripture that the blood of Christ does not cover. One is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, found in Matthew and chapter 9. The other one is taking the mark of the beast, Revelation chapter 14. Read it, chapter 13. Read them. The person that takes the mark of the beast, you say, Pastor Johnny, I'd never do that. God said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, preached on it last Sunday, God will send you strong delusion and you will believe a lie. You will believe that. You say, no, I won't. Yes, you will. You think you're greater than God? Hello, he created you. You will believe the lie. You will swallow that lie. And you will believe the lie. And you will be ushered into that 7 years, into those seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. I believe they're all separate. One-fourth of mankind dies in the seven seals. One-third dies in the seven trumpets. And then in the seven vials, the entire earth and all of mankind are covered with those judgments that take place. And we preached on those the last three Sundays. So today we're starting at roughly where Christ's feet touch the Mount of Olives. The Battle of Armageddon takes place. He defeats all the armies of the earth. The beast, who is the Antichrist? The person, the man of sin, devil incarnated in human flesh. You say, Pastor Johnny, I really don't really believe that. Well, listen to me for just a minute. When Abraham was visited by the angels, when they came to him, they were angels. When they got to the city of Lot to warn Lot and his family and the city of Sodom of the judgment that was coming because of their ungodly, abominable sin, they were men. So much so that the individual, the men in Sodom, tried to beat the door of Lot's house down to take those men. They thought that Lot was like they were and that Lot had kept them for himself. And they tried to beat Lot's door down to take those men and sodomize them. Now, my friend, listen to me. You and I are the creature. We're not the creator. God allows us to be a part of procreation. Thank God that he gives us that wonderful privilege of having children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But he has not given us that ability to do what angels. We are created a little lower than angels, the scripture says. Therefore, angels can take the form of a human being. So, the beast, the Antichrist, will be a man fully possessed by Satan himself. Just as there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Satan has his own trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The false prophet will be the preacher of a religion in these last days that we are approaching, particularly during that seven-year period of time, where he will seek to cause all to receive the mark or the number or the name of the beast, and he will cause all, the scripture says all, A-L-L, don't get it confused with O-I-L, okay? A-L-L, the scripture says all will bow down. So if you're left behind, listen to me carefully, if you're left behind, then you're going to bow and worship the beast. You're going to bow and worship the Antichrist. You're going to receive his mark, his name, or his number. Okay? In fact, the Bible says no man will be able to buy nor sell, be able to do anything without his mark, his name, or his number. And so that leads me this morning then, I've got 10 minutes left. I've got to preach fast. Okay? That's just the introduction. Okay? All right. Now, I'm going to share some things with you this morning in this final message. You can take it for what it's worth, and if you're a student of the Scripture, you'll do like they did in the book of Acts. You'll search the Scripture daily to see whether Brother Johnny said what he said and whether it's true or not, okay? I want you to do that. I encourage you to do that. Don't sit in that pew and take what I say as an absolute absolute. The Word of God is the absolute, okay? Now, to the best of my ability, under what I believe is leadership of Holy Spirit, I have interpreted the Word of God, have been interpreting the Word of God for 45 plus years studying this. And I want to share this with you this morning. God is leading your pastor into a prophetic ministry. I have no idea what it means. I don't have any idea where I'm going or what I'm going to be doing. But I'm trusting God. The same when I became your pastor, I'm trusting God. I don't know anything about it. I don't have any details to share with you this morning. But you remember Jeremiah said that the Word of God was bound up in him and it was like a fire burning in his bones. I want to tell you something this morning. My legs, my whole body literally burns with this burden on my heart. What you saw in that video is reality of a world out there that is totally unprepared. And many sitting in the pews of the church today, and I don't mean to fuss at you, I love you with all of my heart, you know that. But many sitting in the pews of the church today are ignorant for two reasons. Number one, it hadn't been preached. Woe be unto the shepherds that have been entrusted the flock and have not warned and prepared the flock when they saw the wolf coming. And they did not warn, and they did not prepare the flock. God has called me to do that. Please understand that. That's the calling on my life. I cannot get away from it. I cannot separate myself from it. God has put that burden in my heart and that burden in my life. Therefore, I have to do what he has called me to do. He will unfold the plans, how it's all to happen and how it's all to take place. But I'm telling you, he's confirmed that in my heart and in my spirit. I have spent many, many hours and much time in prayer searching the mind and the heart and the will of God. I wanted somebody else to come preach these messages to you, and God slammed the door shut. And listen to me. Chuck McAllister that's coming next Sunday, and then we'll be here at 10:30 and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Listen to him. He went to a little church yesterday in Kentucky that runs 50 in attendance. I just got his text this morning. They had over 600 present there yesterday morning. Listen to me. Over 600 present there yesterday for a wild game banquet. Literally had to turn people away with dozens coming to know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Get ready for next Sunday. Get ready for next Monday night. Get ready for next Tuesday night and next Wednesday night. Bring your loved ones. Bring your neighbors. Bring your co-workers. Bring anybody you can, regardless of race, color, creed, or national origin. Bring people that they might get under the hearing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an anointed man. He's called of God, and he's coming. And when I tell you the story next Sunday, how it all unfolded and how it all happened, you will have to believe without a shadow of a doubt that God was in it. Because listen to me, I wanted to bring somebody else in to preach these messages and God wouldn't let me. He put it on my heart and he made me do it. And out of the clear blue connected me with Chuck McAllister, whom I've known since 1979. Grew up in Batesburg, South Carolina. Mother and father members of First Baptist Church, Batesburg. Now for the over to commercial, back to the message, okay? All right. I'm trying to make this as light as I can on you this morning so you'll grasp this truth and hold on to this truth, okay? All right. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. You can go on Google. You can go on Bing. You can go wherever you want to. You can study it. But listen to me. In 691 A.D., write it down. In 691 A.D., there was something built in Jerusalem. Do anybody ever know? We can talk to me. Huh? Dome of the Rock. When you study the history of the Dome of the Rock, listen to me, is not necessarily, listen carefully, not necessarily a place of worship for Islamic people, Muslim people. The Dome of the Rock was a shrine built to honor and to worship Almighty Allah. Listen carefully. I've already told you, God said Jerusalem belonged to who? Him and him alone. I'll give you 34 references in your Bible, at least 34, where God said emphatically that Jerusalem, he would put his name there forever and that it belonged to him. It was his city. And so that leads us to why the Jerusalem that's present there must be destroyed and must be done away with because it has been violated. Now, if you turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, turn to it right now. Daniel chapter 11, verse 33. Mike, I didn't give you that one, I don't think. I gave Mike a whole list this morning. We're going to get to them quickly. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame and by captivity. And in the rest of that passage of scripture will deal with and will tell you that as you move to the end of time, remember Daniel received the message and the prophecy from God himself, from And God said, Daniel, this prophecy is for the end time. It is for your people. When the Dome of the Rock was established in Jerusalem, 691 A.D., if you study what Daniel said, each day equals a year, you add 1,335 days to 691, and you'll come out with 2,026. Now, before you throw a brick at me, our hymnal, God did not tell Noah the day nor the hour. God did not tell Abraham the day nor the hour. God did not tell Noah how long, but he did say 400 years they were going to spend in Egypt. It's in your Bible. It's recorded at least two places, actually more. Remember, I've told you, God always validates his word. He does not, listen to me, he does not tell us to do something with his word that he has not done with his word himself. He always validates his word in at least two places. So if you add the 1,335 days, which each day equals a year, understanding the time period and the time clock of that day and that time, and Daniel and God speaking to him, you come out to 2026. All right, now look up here. Don't miss this. Several Sundays ago, I told you to add 9 to 2017, didn't I? Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Remember what I told you 9 was? It was a highly spiritual, highly significant number Because it is the end of all things. Everything starts back over. When you come to 19, it starts back over with 20. When you come to 29, it starts back over with 30. When you come to 39, it starts back over with 40. And on and on and on. I could talk to you all day long. If some of you want to stay, we might. Okay? Now listen. Get this together in your mind. 9 plus 2017 is what? Pastor Johnny is not saying that Jesus is coming then. Neither is Pastor Johnny saying that the end of the world is coming then, okay? But I am telling you, church, that figures don't lie. Now, lie is figure sometimes, okay? Hello? Are you with me? I'm trying to put a little stuff in there to keep you awake and keep you alive and keep you listening, okay? All right? Okay? Hello? Liars do figure sometimes, okay? How many of you have ever been cheated? Don't raise your hands, okay? But figures never lie. And remember, I told you in several sermons back, don't ask me which one, I'll have to go back and listen to myself to find out. But I told you in several sermons back, God even has a book named what? Numbers. Numbers are important in the scripture. Okay? Now, the Dome of the Rock was built in 691 B.C. It sits in the holy place. God said in Daniel 11:33, those that are wise and those that understand will instruct many. All right, look up here. Don't miss what I'm telling you. What I'm sharing with you, you're to go home and to study it. You're to go home and to pray over it. But you're not to sit on it. You just saw in the video what the average person on the street in this country believes today about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two reasons. I repeat it again. Either because it hadn't been preached from the pulpit, or either they're ignorant of the scripture and the word of God. Shame on us when we have every tool today to study the word of God available to us, including this little computer that we carry around on our hip. Shame on us when we use it for Facebook, and we Facebook ungodly things to one another, and we name the name of Christ. Paul said we need to flee even the appearance of evil as we live in these last days. Now, I'm speaking to some of you. I don't do Facebook, but guess what? It eventually gets back to Pastor Johnny what you put on Facebook. Hello? Take something good and put on Facebook. Take something out of the Word of God and put on Facebook. There's a world out there that's dying to hear that Jesus needs their life. They need their life in Him. If they don't receive Him as their Lord and Savior, they're going to go into the worst time of judgment. In fact, so much so that Matthew 24 says, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. In other words, total destruction and total annihilation is coming. That's the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. That's not something Johnny Muller thought up. And so, when you look at what Daniel said, if you look in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, look at it, quick. Come on, quick. Daniel 12, verse 11. Micah, did I give you that one? Pop it up for me. We had a few issues this morning, but there we go. And there you are. 1,290 days plus 45 days equals 1,335 days. Each day equals a year. Add 1,335 to the abomination of desolation that was placed in the Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, God's chosen place, and you come to the year 2026. Even people that do not even name the name of God, as I was studying and preparing this message and looking at all backgrounds and all beliefs and all structures, even people that do not name the name of God are telling us that we cannot continue the way we are. We will not survive as a world of people. Now, that sounds like doom and gloom to those, and it is, to those that do not know Christ. Aren't you glad you know Christ this morning? Amen. Let's give him a hand for what he did for us. Amen. Let's praise him this morning for what he did for us. Amen. Let's worship him, magnify him, and exalt him. Boy, I wanted to jump and shout when the praise team was singing that song. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. Hello. Whew. I might just get ruptured here in front of you this morning. So, we come to that seven-year period of time. We come then to the Battle of Armageddon, which takes place when Jesus' feet, read it in Zechariah, touches the Mount of Olives. And then he puts all enemies down at that point of mankind. He defeats all the armies of the world. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He rules and reigns. He's promised that in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. In other places in Scripture, he's promised that he will rule and reign upon the throne of his father David forever. Then we come to the end of that period of time. Satan's bound. He's thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are to be tormented throughout the age of eternity. Now look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Every human being is created by God. You didn't come sliming up on the bank of some sea somewhere as an amoeba and then develop a tail and then lose your tail and then become a person and a human being. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. Therefore, listen to me, God is eternal. Therefore, you are eternal. And I am eternal. Because we have been created by God Almighty. Therefore, we will live eternally. Now, look up here. Don't miss what I'm about to say. You can't burn God up, so you ain't going to burn you up. Now, that's about as plain as I can say it to you this morning. And these individuals out there that teach and tell, well, you'll just be consumed. My friend, let me tell you something. God knows where every piece of matter that he used to create your body is. All it does is change its state. When your body and my body, when we die, the spirit, the soul leave that body and takes its flight to be with Jesus. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, not next day, not next week, not next month. I want you to understand that you're going to live forever. And it's your choice. God has provided all that you need in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1536, before Christian era, a decree went forth by Seleucus to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. You got your pen and your paper out? Write down 1536. Add 490 to it and tell me what you come up with. I'm listening. Huh? 2026. Figures do not lie. Something significant is going to happen shortly, ladies and gentlemen. How shall Dutch Fork Baptist Church, how shall we as members of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we be ready? Will we be taken up with him? Will we escape all of the horrors of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials? Will we return of him? Will we truly become more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us and return with him at the Mount of Olives and see every enemy destroyed? Every nation of the world destroyed? Will we rule and reign with him? And if we do, will we rule and reign based upon our faithfulness here? Yes, we will. How faithful are you with what you know now? See, it's a sin to sit and soak. I mean, we let sauerkraut soak a while, but after all, you got to eat it, right? Hello? You see, nothing's intended to sit and soak. Are you with me? To whom much is given, much shall be required. Hello? You say, well, I'm going to leave. I don't want to hear it. That's okay. He'll still hold you accountable. You know why? Because you knew and you didn't respond. I love a baby's cry. You know why I love a baby's cry? It's a promise that God's alive and that God's real. Every time I hear a baby cry, I understand that God is more real than even Pastor Johnny's imagination can fully comprehend. Ladies and gentlemen, the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, is 1,500 miles wide, is 1,500 miles across, and is 1,500 miles high. Now, how far is 1,500 miles? Well, a cubit is 660 feet, okay? So take 660 feet, a furlong, I'm sorry, and multiply it times what the book of Revelation says, and you'll come out with 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500. It's a cube. It's perfect in every way. Jesus said, listen to me carefully, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What did he tell the thief on the cross that day? That where I am, there you may be also. You never looked at it that way before, have you? But that's what he told him. That where I am, there you may be also. What is he telling you and I? Now listen to me. He didn't lie to the thief, did he? Huh? So is he lying to me and you? Huh? I can say, huh, that's a Baptist for. Are you listening? All right, let me close this message out. A new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. When you find Revelation 21, stand with me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And look at verse 4 now. God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Are you longing for that this morning? Is there a hunger in your heart for that this morning? Is there a desire in your heart for that this morning? Oh, my goodness, folks. I make all things new. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the abominable. Now you want to know who the abominable are? Read Romans chapter 1. Did you hear me? You want to know who the abominable are? Read Romans chapter 1. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now skip to chapter 22. Verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they who have washed their robes that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs. This is not a bow wow dog. And sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus. Now look up here 1 minute. Either he's true or he's not. I'm going to place my argument on the side of absolute truth in every area about everything. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star and the spirit and the bride. If you're blood-washed, blood-bought, born again here this morning, you're part of the bride. The bride, if you're not, is inviting you. The Holy Spirit is calling you. Jesus is giving you his invitation. Say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And the word amen means so let it be so, or so let it be done. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father God, this morning,